Welcome to Green and Red, Scrappy Politics for Scrappy People, a regular podcast on radical, environmental and anti-capitalist politics, brought to you by Bob Bazanko and Scott Parkin.
Welcome to the Green and Red podcast. I'm your co-host, Scott Parkin, in Berkeley, California, and my co-host, Bob, is actually not here tonight. He's off on assignment, but I am excited to be talking with Fable, who is participating in a campaign in Western Washington. I'll let Fable actually talk a little bit more about where they are. But there's a campaign against the parched timber sale in Western Washington near the Elwha River. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But maybe I can just start off with a question for you, Fable. Is tell us where you are right now.
Yeah, hi. I'm currently watching the sunset from about 70 to 100, somewhere in there, feet up in the ground in a grand fir tree. I'm sleeping and resting and chilling on a platform that's anchored to basically a road blockade that we're just built leading up to that timber sale.
And you broke up a little bit there, but could you tell us what the timber sale is again? Is it the parched timber sale?
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. And so this is part of a campaign, is folks are following groups like Tree Sitters Union on Instagram and things like that. You can actually see that while you're up in the tree, Fable, there's also stuff going on the ground. So could you actually just tell us a little bit of what the campaign is against the parched timber sale?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different groups opposing the parched timber sale. There's the coalition in town, and there is a petition from the local tribe that has 50% or more of members signed on, just like opposing logging on the Elwha watershed and protecting the river. So there's a lot of different sort of stuff that fits into this setting that this is happening on. The actual people involved in rallies and planning and supporting the blockade is just like an unaffiliated sort of group. Actually, newly affiliated of the Olympic Forest Defenders. So that's really exciting, but that's really just a group of folks who have various media or tree climbing, rigging, forest defense art sort of skills, who are working on this particular project right now. And we're trying to get a cancellation of the parched timber sale. So that went into effect December of last year, before Dave of the Grove took office. It was a rushed last minute sale under the last lands commissioner. And although it's not directly a promise of Dave's to cancel all ongoing legacy forest harvest and the logging, that was more or less what he ran his campaign on.
And he's the land commissioner.
Yes. Yeah. Dave of the Grove is the current land commissioner. I believe he's with DNR. I'm not as good with all the bureaucracy stuff.
It's all good.
That might be in.
And who?
Yeah. His campaign more or less was with a promise to protect these kind of forests that we're seeing be threatened with this timber sale.
And he's the sort of target of the campaign. The pressure that's going on is around Dave Up the Grove. It's a strange name for a guy who's involved in forest issues.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. One of our banners actually says, "Up the Grove, don't cut the groves."
Right, exactly.
Yeah. He's the primary target because he, as in his role, could just completely cancel the sale even after it's been sold and there's a logging company that has been building roads and plans to log it. He could still go and say, actually, no, we're not going to do that. So that's why that. And then also, I think a lot of people are feeling really betrayed because he ran as this progressive person who's going to protect legacy forests, and he's LGBT and all of these things. And he's really just responding to this, especially and showing his true colors. He's called for a pretty escalated police response from day one, and he's referred to our blockade as dangerous vandalism, and it's like really trying to push for as extreme legal and like police response to this as he can get away with.
And so what has the police response been like?
Yeah, so the first 4 days, there was police stationed under the tree 24/7 from about 7 a.m. on Wednesday morning until about 8 a.m. Wednesday, Saturday morning. And they were running these really loud. I actually have no idea what this thing was. It might have been a stingray. It might have been just like a little pop-up cell tower that they made, but it was really loud and it scared all the birds and wildlife away. And then they set up camp, and then whenever a rally would come or people would come, they would end it. One day there was like, I swear, like 20 cops just like sitting under the tree and just hanging out after the rally and debriefing. And then at night they would run this really loud generator that powered these lights that made it so bright it literally looked like it was like daytime outside of the canopy. And it was really hard to there was the first day I set up, there was crazy wind, like 30 mile an hour wind gusts, and I hadn't really stabilized my platform in yet or done anything that would make that just like more comfortable, and I didn't have a tarp on yet, and I was just getting batted around in the wind. And they said, do you want to come down? And I said, yeah, it doesn't really feel comfortable. I don't even know if it's really safe being in wind like this, but I can't come down until you guys leave because I'm not going to give up and sit. And they refused to leave. So they just sat there and watched me swinging around.
Did they have paramedics there too in case something did happen to you?
No, they would threateningly take out this, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like one of those things in ski patrol that when someone like breaks their neck, they put them on to transport them.
Like a neck brace. It's a stabilizer of some sort.
Yeah, like a long, like a 8 foot long. It's like solid. But they would just take it out every now and then and be like, yeah, we have this thing.
But they haven't.
There was one.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. There was one day. Also, every time they drive in, they would drive super, super close to my lines, which if they get hit, I just go down with the platform. That was pretty stressful at first, and then I got used to it. And then actually at a rally, my friends saw them doing that and were like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, yeah, they just do that. Another day, they had someone come in with a chainsaw, and they said, we're not going to cut your tree. But I didn't really know what they were doing. They just were revving a chainsaw at the base of my tree. And then they cut all around the tree. But yeah, so stuff like that. They have pulled way off. They're down the road now. And they come like a few times a day and do like a wellness check. Yeah, which is way better. I think that's because like thousands of people called after the sit started to tell Dame of the group to pull the cops off.
Oh, wow.
And I thought pressure was actually effective. Yeah.
So they haven't threatened to send like a tree extraction team up or anything like that? And like where you've seen that in other tree sits?
No. And I actually don't know specifically in Port Angeles in this part of the forest if there's been anything like that recently enough that they know what strategies are usually used.
Right.
Because I haven't even been given a trespassing notice or an order to leave or any of the normal things you would expect. I haven't. They said one day, we're investigating you for trespassing, and that's all they've ever said. They've never asked me to come down or anything like that. Right. So that's been good because that means I actually am not really breaking any rules at all. I'm on state land and I haven't been asked to leave.
And
that's good, but it does feel like they are in over their heads.
And they're all local cops? Really? They're state cops too?
Yeah. They're wearing these kind of green outfits, and I'm not sure what cops they are.
Is the company doing the logging and wanting the lumber is, or the wood, is the Murphy Company. And that's a smaller company I've never heard of. It's not like Weyerhaeuser or anything. Can you say a little bit about them?
I don't know much about them. I think they're Oregon-based.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know much about them at all.
And the trees that you're protecting are like older trees, but not necessarily what's classified as like old growth, correct?
Yeah. So it's a term that like is newer that people are using for this specific kind of forest called a legacy forest. And this particular forest is about 100 years old. It's never been cut by like industrial machinery, and it is pretty biodiverse, grand fir, Doug fir, and cedar. And then also some really important and critical for like ferns, plants, animals in there. But yeah, a legacy forest, that's just a word for a forest that's really on its way to being old growth. And specifically this type of forest is like the best at holding carbon, I think, of all of the kinds of forests that we could have in a regular succession. So it's really important not to log those right now.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of carbon, because I know that there's been a sort of building conscience the last few years in the Northwest about the connection between climate and forests. And there's groups that do forest defense, but part of the motivation, I talked to someone from Cascadia Forest Defenders a few years ago on the podcast, and like a big motivation for what they were doing was how to make forest defense more relevant to climate movements. And I'm wondering how much support you've been seeing from climate movement. The Pacific Northwest is thriving climate movement scene. So
I think the support has been good. I think we're seeing a lot of individual people showing up to rallies, hiking out, bringing all sorts of like wonderful snacks and like hats and lamps, like everything you could ever need in a tree set people are bringing out. And I get the sense a lot of them are sort of part of those kind of groups. And then in town, the coalition hasn't come out and said, we support this action outright or like anything like that. But they've been reposting the press releasing from our group. And they've been helping that information be accessible, which I think as an actual legal entity, that's as good as you're going to get.
And you've also been having support from the lower Elwha River tribe as well, right? The local indigenous tribe.
For our specific action, I'm not personally aware of the tribe coming out and saying, again, we support this action. There are members of the tribe who are like supporting it, showing up to stuff, donating, things like that. But yeah, so what we do know is that they're obviously very involved with like protecting the Elwha River and the watershed. And there's been a lot of active advocacy and work done by the tribe to care for and restore that river and keep it safe from things like logging and everything else that could happen to it. Yeah, but they haven't, to my knowledge, come out and said, and I think for the same reason, we support walking roads with tree sitters.
I have two final questions. Back to the logging company, have you seen them in the area doing logging other trees or anything like that in the vicinity?
No, not since I've been here. I think I heard a logging truck one day on a lower road, but it was hard to say if it was even part of this forest area or if it was just on 101, which I didn't hear a little from here.
Oh.
Yeah.
I live near the 101 in California. And then my other question is, because you mentioned this before, is like you talked about how when the police set up their mini cell tower or whatever, it scared the wildlife away. But how much, it sounds like they stopped that, but how much have you been seeing wildlife there?
Yeah, I've seen birds. I've heard a lot of birds. and chipmunks and little other things. And then some of my friends who were on site actually saw a mom bear and a cub like walking on the trail. So there's definitely wildlife. And I also heard of some, I think my friend wasn't sure if it was deer or elk scat, but yeah, there's definitely a lot of wildlife in this area.
Besides the sort of protecting the watersheds and keeping carbon in the ground, I think it's an important thing that you're doing because it's also protecting the systems and the homes of the wildlife there as well.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, that's a really important piece of it. And there's also just this more broad sort of thing that is really interesting. I think a lot of the local folks are really upset about this because they see this, and this land has been for a long time as a timber farm and a monocrop, but we're not going to get out of that if we keep using it that way. And part of this is saying this particular land has slated for logging is actually like unbelievably developing old growth characteristics and is biodiverse and has all these great features. And if we log it and replant it with all that, we're going to keep having a timber farm instead of like a more ecologically robust and loved land and habitat for animals. Just like all that goes into that's good and important. There's some interesting, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
There's some interesting sort of financial pressures, I think, going into all that too, because you're seeing loggers who are upset because it's their stream of revenue. And also a lot of people are upset that this logging is allegedly going to go into funding because of the way that funding structures here are designed. It funds schools and like social services and resources. But I think that there's just, we have to start finding other ways to fund those things. And we have to start, people have to find another way to make money than just devastating our only remaining like biodiverse habitats. I think it's really hard though, because that's real. There's like totally a messed up financial situation that's just messily a part of all of this too.
Right. My other question is, where can people find out more about the campaign?
Yeah, I don't think we have a website. I'm posting to Instagram and TikTok. Those are good places. Folks have been sending some updates into GoFundMe, just like on the page for donations. And those donations also, I think, are going to more than we need to keep the sit sustained. So a hope for those is that they'll go into like actually making a really robust set of gear and equipment for this newly formed group, the Olympic Forest Defenders, to do all sorts of future forest defense, some training and actions and all sorts of things on the peninsula. But yeah, as far as information, there's been a lot of press and things like that. And then Instagram, TikTok, and the GoFundMe has updates on it. Yeah.
And it's the Tree Sitters Union on Instagram. I'm not on TikTok, so I don't know which account to follow. But if I'm sure if folks just search Tree Sit Western Washington or Parks Timber Sale, you can find it.
Yeah, the TikTok is Ollie Forest Defenders. And on Instagram, Tree Sitters Union, I think, posts a lot of our stuff. And I think there's another Instagram account that's like Sacred Action, maybe Sacred Action Northwest, that posts a lot of stuff. I'm actually not really that involved with the media stuff. I just take my videos and chill.
Yeah, totally.
Totally.
I'm gonna wrap it there, though. Fable, I want to thank you for taking your time and your evening tonight and talking with me. Folks, we've been talking with Fable, who is sitting in a tree and defending a grove of forest in near Port Angeles, Washington, in Western Washington. I really appreciate talking to you, and I want to thank you for your courage and doing this for all the rest of us.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking.
Yeah. And folks, if you like us, check us out, Green and Red Podcast at greenandredpodcast.org. You can hit the support button. You become a patron at patreon.com/greenandredpodcast. And then also check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you're listening to this on an audio platform, give us a rate. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. And Fable, hopefully we can talk to you again sometime soon. And everybody should make trouble and misbehave.
Okay. Have a good night.
You too.